Hotel, the Western Wall, last Wednesday night and Thursday, which was a Tisha B'Av holiday. It was a fast day. It was a time of mourning in Israel. And a lot of things happened at the Kotel, a lot of spiritual experiences, a lot of little miracles, a lot of wonderful stories and special events. And here to tell us more about that, who is somebody who would know, because he basically, I could say, almost lives at the Kotel, at the Western Wall. His name is Gutman Locks, and he's the author of several books. His website, thereisone.com. You should go there and check it out. It's an amazing website. You can get his books that he has there. And he stands there at the Kotel, and he wraps tefillin, or phylacteries, around Jewish men who have come in to visit the Kotel and maybe haven't done it. He asks them if they've put on tefillin that day. If not, he helps them put it on. He's got some wonderful stories to share. And he's got some wonderful personal stories as well, but that for that you're going to have to buy his books. One of them, I believe, was called Coming Back to Earth. Is that correct?
That's right.
It was Coming Back to Earth. It's a great book. Folks, buy the book. I'm recommending it very strongly. Coming Back to Earth. This was a story where I interviewed Gutman Locks several years ago about from hippie to guru to religious Jew. He's had an amazing spiritual life journey that's brought him back to Judaism, and he's a frum Jew today, wrapping tefillin, as I said, on Jews who come to the Kotel. So you were there during the Tisha B'Av holiday. People were fasting. It was hot. And yet thousands of Jews converged. Tell us a little bit about what happened the last few days at the Kotel.
Okay. Tisha B'Av, is not our favorite holiday, most people say, and it's obvious why. Like you said, it was hot, and we're fasting and mourning. But what you have to understand is that the mourning is not the objective. The fasting is not the objective. The yearning is not the objective. What is the objective? Excuse me just a second. Is to bring the third temple. We're there sad because the second temple was destroyed. And we do these practices that we do in order to encourage Hashem and his kindness to bring the third temple. Now, what caused the second temple to fall? We have to do the opposite of that to build the third temple. The second temple was destroyed, as our sages have told us many times, because Jews hated Jews without reason. The obvious solution to reverse that is that Jews should love Jews without reason.
All right, that means like the religious hating or the secular hating the religious, the left wing hates the right wing, vice versa, the Sephardi, Ashkenazi hate each other. That's the type of causeless hatred you're talking about.
Any causeless hatred. If somebody has a different political opinion than you do, that's no reason to hate him. He's allowed to think how he wants to think.
Mm-hmm.
So this is historical, but this is the particular sin that caused the temple to be destroyed, and this is what we have to mourn and yearn, is to correct this. It's supposed to motivate us to fix it, not just to feel sad. Sadness comes for a good reason. When you do something wrong and you're sad about it, that's very positive because that guides us to correct what we did that makes us sad.
All right.
Now, here's the question. Why is the temple in Yerushalayim? Why was it? Why? What is so special about the Holy Land? We call this land the Holy Land, and Yerushalayim is the holiest part of the whole land. Why? Everyone knows that God is equally everywhere. God's in Chicago. Why here? Why here? Yes, God is equally everywhere. But here in Yerushalayim, in Israel, and especially in Yerushalayim, he makes his presence more easy to be revealed. Now, why does he do that? He wants to lead us towards his Torah, which is home-based in Yerushalayim. And it's in Yerushalayim that the Torah spreads out to the entire world. That's why we come here. That's why we have this wonderful spiritual feeling while we're here. Even though God is equally everywhere, it's more difficult to find him in Chicago than in the Old City.
Ki mitzion tetzeh Torah. That the Torah will come forth from Zion.
That's exactly right. That's why Hashem reveals his presence here, is to guide us towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you asked about, you wanted to hear, let's see, a tefillin story. You wanted to hear, how can I help you?
Have some really great stories, and some of them are from your book. And again, I really want to recommend everybody. You know, I've got your book, The Raging Mind, which is all about meditation, because you were a meditation expert when you were a guru at one time. That's all right that I'm saying that, right?
Well, actually, I'm now involved in teaching meditation for a Jewish college for government credit. So it's not just involved back then, but my job No, one of my jobs now is to try to show people an alternative to the idolatrous of meditations that are being taught in the schools and systems, and show them a kosher way to do it.
All right. And you have a book called Coming Back to Earth, From Central Park Guru to an Old City Jew. People, get the book. It's an amazing book. You'll really enjoy reading it. You'll enjoy passing it on to your family and to your neighbors and friends and tell them to get the book as well. Coming Back to Earth. Just go to his webpage at thereisone.com. Go to the book section. Scroll down a bit, and you'll find the book. It's a blue cover with different pictures of it. Coming Back to Earth. Tell us some of the amazing stories you've had of people. Was there anything that happened special during Tisha B'Av? Of course, you weren't wrapping tefillin probably on people in the morning there.
Nowadays I just come in the late afternoon and wrap tefillin. And Tisha B'Av, you have to imagine, the boys that are there helping put on tefillin on people have been hot and fasting all day. Yet they give of themselves so much trying to help other Jews to come to the mitzvah of tefillin.
Mm-hmm.
So many interesting things happen. Every day there's another story. One of my favorite stories, some people might not think it's such a great story, but by me it's one of the warmest. One day I was putting tefillin on people, and I saw a Russian man, middle-aged, elderly Russian man come in, and I brought him over, encouraged him to put on tefillin. He had no idea what tefillin were. He never saw them before. But he wanted to cooperate, so I got him to cooperate. I said, come put on tefillin. He doesn't know what it is. I put the tefillin on his arm, and I said, say Baruch. He has to say the blessing. Baruch, he says, Karak. I said, no, Baruch. He said, Yakak. I said, no, Baruch. Well, he was getting antsy. He wanted to pull his arm away from the tefillin and run away. He didn't want anything to do with this. So I quickly put the tefillin on him without the blessing, the proper blessing, and I gave him the Shema, the central prayer to read in Russian. Well, he looked at that fine print, and he didn't want anything to do with it. He just wanted to run. He finally said to me, he said, look, is it okay if I just sing Hava Nagila? I said, sure. And the guy went, Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila. And he raised his arms up, and he smiled, and he pranced back and forth, the happiest guy ever saw in your life. Now, I know God loved his Hava Nagila better than he did my blessing that day.
That's very funny. Too bad you don't have this stuff on video. That's an amazing story.
Every day something happens like this. Here's a funny story from a while back. I like to help the non-Jews, too, that come to the Kotel. And I saw this important-looking non-Jewish man standing by the wall, and I walked up to him and I said, where are you from? He said, I'm the governor of Georgia. I said, shut my mouth. I'm talking to the governor of Georgia. I said, governor, I want to thank you. Without your help, we couldn't survive here. All these Arab nations are trying to wipe us out. We thank you very much for your help. And the governor started to cry at the hotel. The next day, I saw in the newspaper an article about the governor of Georgia. And it said like this. He said, up until now, the governor has always voted for the Arab position. But since he's been visiting Yerushalayim, he's changed, and now he's going to vote for the Jews.
Really?
That's a true story. All my stories are true. So the point is, if you just extend yourself to help everyone you can, you never know what kind of good it's going to end up doing.
Uh-huh. Well, you have another story, actually, that you wrote about in your book, Coming Back to Earth, I think it was. I think it was that book, where you were watching somebody in Los Angeles, when you were living in Los Angeles, California, before you made Aliyah to Israel, and you saw some young, I guess maybe it was a Chabadnik or somebody who was trying to wrap tefillin on people who were coming out of a Jewish restaurant in Los Angeles. Tell the listeners that story. I love that story.
I heard the story from the man it happened to. He said he was walking down the street, and it was in California, Los Angeles, the Fairfax section, and a young yeshiva student had set up a little stand. He was from Chabad, and he asked the man, tried to encourage him to put on tefillin. He said, sir, come put on tefillin. The man looked at him and said, you rotten Jew. You know you just embarrassed me in public. You just lost your share in the world to come. And the man ran off. Well, you can imagine how that yeshiva student felt. Oh, boy, his Rebbe sent him out there to do good. And here the customer got, he's lost his share in the world to come. The boy probably to this day still feels horrible about that. Well, I met the man 5 years later. And he was telling me the story. He said he was so angry he walked 50 steps. And then he stopped and said, wow, how low have I come that I would get angry when a Jew would ask me to do a mitzvah. He said, you know, I turned at that minute, I went right home, and I put on my tefillin, and I've been putting it on every day since. To this day, that boy still thinks he did something wrong, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. Every time you reach with a good heart to help someone, no matter what happens, you're helping. It's like chipping on a stone. Even if you don't see anything happen, it makes it easier for the next guy.
You know, there are so many people who try to do a good deed, and they never know if it ever makes an impression on people.
That's true.
And if you're lucky enough in this world, you get to see the full circle, and it comes around back to you, and you see, wow, I did make a difference. But for so many people, we're not lucky enough to see that happen. And here's a perfect example. You said this yeshiva bachur probably still feels horrible about what he did. He upset this guy so much, and he doesn't know that because of what he did, the guy felt so bad. He went home, put on his tefillin that he had stuffed away in his closet, in the back shelf, deep in his closet, took it out, and from then on started putting on every day because of this young man, and he doesn't know it.
Every time you help someone with a good heart, it helps. It's so important to help other people. It's the solution for our own problem.
And part of that helping is being just being kind.
Just being kind. It's okay, but now, a guy comes up to me. This happens every once in a while, usually little kids, and they see a man with a white beard at their coattail. So they think that's a sign of wisdom. It should only be. And they come up and they say, would you please give me a blessing? So I say like this to him. I said, yes, I'll give you a blessing. I'm going to ask God to bless you. But first, I want to teach you how you can get a blessing. You go up to a charity box. Keep one in your house is the best way. And you put a coin in the charity box. Now, you're going to give that to a poor person. And then you say, Hashem, please give me a blessing. Anytime you do a good deed, you get a spiritual bank account. Now, a spiritual bank account is not like a physical bank account. A physical bank account, everyone knows that when you want it to grow, you have to hang on to it tightly. Don't touch it. But a spiritual bank account is the opposite. When you have something in your credit in your spiritual bank account, the best thing to do is to spend it right away. Use that credit to pray for someone else and something to be good in the world. And that's another mitzvah. So that's going to add to the account and make it grow and grow and grow.
Kind of like a flame that you pass. It never dies, but it lights other candles.
Exactly. What we should do, whenever you want help yourself, you go out and try to help someone else, and you'll see it happen directly. Your help is coming for you. And by the way, we're only obligated to try to do the good deed. It's not up to us whether we succeed or not. Success is in God's hands. But whether we try or not, that's not in God's hand. God wants us to have free will. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the point. You're going down the street, and you're on your way to something very important, and you see there's a Jew with a donkey, and the donkey falls down. Now, what are you going to do? Well, the Torah tells us very clearly what we have to do. But even if the Torah didn't tell us what to do, any kind-hearted person would go over and help that man pick up his donkey. Now, here's the question. If that we are so particular and sure to help him pick up his physical donkey, all the more so should we help him pick up his spiritual donkey.
What does that mean?
It means that when we see a physical donkey on the ground, we understand and empathize with the man, so we go help him. But how many times will a Jew do a mitzvah? A guy sitting on a plane, he puts on his tefillin, and he gets done, and he puts him away, and he picks up a magazine. And he doesn't look to his right or left to see if there's another Jew there who might like to put on tefillin.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're out in the way going to the street, look to see if there's another person you can help. And as I said, I also try to help the non-Jews too, but we are obligated to help our own family first, and then spread out and keep going and going until we try to help the entire world.
How many hours a day would you say you're out at the hotel at the Western Wall Plaza?
Well, see, I live very close. I'm only 2 or 3 minutes away. So most people, when they walk away from the hotel, they kiss the hotel. But I don't, because I'm not really leaving that much. So I'm only there now, it depends on the time of the year when the sun shows up, but I'm only there about six and a half hours a day.
Oh, only 6.5 hours a day. Okay.
This is only the
That's
last
a full-time
20...
job in a lot of people's eyes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's so gorgeous. But, you know, it's changing. What's happening is, the further we go along, the lower the people get. Because it's from the creation, when the first strength of the creation was created, everything was very strong. And as the years go on, we get weaker and weaker and weaker. This is a known fact. But we're also getting closer and closer to the redemption. So in some ways, we're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, the people who lived before us were like giants. and we're like midgets. But you know what? In some ways, we can see further than they could. How do we do that? We stand on their shoulders. If we stand on a giant's shoulder, we see more than the giant sees. What this means is that we take and we learn from the people who have gone before us what they did that they said worked and what they did that they said was mistakes. So we take their lessons and then we benefit from what they experienced too. And that brings us closer and closer.
Mm.
So today, for instance, you'll see people being not as considerate as they used to be at the Koto. It used to be 20, 25 years ago, I'd go to the Koto and people would look with awe. Wow, where am I? What a special place. Today, there's telephones, people argue. You got different things like that, so we're getting lower and lower. But I'm telling you, today it's much, much easier to score, if that's the proper word, spiritually. The spirituality is so close, it's so easy to accept and bring, to just look in a spiritual way, go help another Jew, open your eyes. I'll give you one example. I know you don't have much time on the radio, but in the temple days, a Jew could make an object holy. He could take a cow and say, I give this to the temple. Well, as soon as he says that, that cow becomes holy, physically and spiritually. Because if he would use it now, he'd have to pay a fine to the temple. It belongs to the temple. Well, today we don't have a temple, but we can still make things holy. I can take a dead tree, make boards out of it, make an ark for a Sefer Torah, and put the Torah in the ark, and now that ark is sanctified for that purpose. I cannot sell that ark, for instance, to buy shoes. Now today, if even a regular Jew can make something holy, how much more so can God himself today make someone holy if God would choose? Now here's the point. When you light your Shabbos candles, or when I put on my talisman tefillin, or most of all of the mitzvahs that we do, we say the following words. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. And then we say, Asher Kiddishanu. And most people say it so fast, they don't even stop to understand what it means. You stop and say, what's it mean, Asher Kiddishanu? It says, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us. Wow. You mean when I'm doing this commandment, I'm being made holy? Wow, if you stop and think about that, if I can make that wood holy, how much more so can God make me holy? Or you when you light those candles? Wow, you have to stop and be in awe. But most people today, when they make a blessing, it's like they're chewing gum. They don't pay attention to what the words mean.
Mm.
It's very easy. It's much, much easier today to find the spirituality if only you look. And one of the best ways to do it is to help your fellow Jew and your fellow human being in life.
We only have a couple of minutes left to the segment. What was one of your most favorite stories or most surprising stories that you ever experienced at the Kotel?
At the Kotel?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Well, it's not the most experience. Okay. Oh, dear. This is not the most. Every day it's a different lesson. So, okay, one day I remember, this was many years ago, and it was very, very crowded in the afternoon, and there were a lot of armed soldiers and policemen walking around. I didn't know what was going on, but then all of a sudden I looked up, and rocks started coming over the top of the Kotel. Fist-sized rocks, and when they came from over the top, from the other side, on the Temple Mount, they fall so fast with such speed, they would break through. In those days, there were wooden chairs there, and the rocks would put a hole right through a half-inch plywood chair. And thousands of rocks started coming over the wall and over the wall, and the soldiers, everybody, look out, run, everybody ran back away so they couldn't be within the reach of the stones. And then they slowed down, and when you went back there, you could not step anywhere in the Kotel area without stepping on a stone. That's how many thousands of stones were there. And not a single person was hit. An open and revealed miracle.
Hmm.
Every day, they're not so dramatic.
These aren't stones. These are rocks. These are sometimes very big rocks. We're not talking little stones.
Fist size. But not only that, they're coming with such force because they're falling from 30 yards or whatever it is up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gaining speed and pressure.
Right.
And you hear banging on the tables and bending things and going through wood.
Mm.
God forbid, 100 people could have been killed. And not a single person was touched. I saw it happen more than once there. Thank God they're controlling it better now. We're not getting that.
Wow, that is a story. So there's miracles abound at the hotel, at the Western Wall Plaza. Anything that you want to say to people who come to visit Israel? In fact, I think I'm going to be in that area tomorrow as well, giving a tour with somebody.
Here's what I say you should do. When you come to the hotel, if you're a man, you haven't put on tefillin, and put on tefillin, give some charity, a little bit to everyone who asked, a little tiny bit to everyone who asked, and then you go stand by the kotel, and you say, like, you close your eyes, and you picture everyone you love one at a time. Try to see the word light on their face and smiling, and ask God to bless them. You're in the holiest place in the world. You're as close as we can get to it. It's almost the time for redemption. It's a holy time. You can share this with your loved ones. Try to see them with light on their face and smiling. Pray for their well-being. Pray for your life. You fulfill your potential. Pray for our soldiers, the Jews in danger on the front line, all over the world. Take a couple minutes and talk to God. You're not a tourist here. You're a Jew coming home.
Amen. When are you going to be there tomorrow, by the way?
When will I be there tomorrow? I get there at 2 in the morning. And I stay until after sunrise. And then I go home. I have work that I have to do, thank God. And then I go back late afternoon for an hour or so to put tefillin on people. I daven and put tefillin on people and try to talk to people. And then I daven and I come home. So I get up at 1:20 every day, so I don't have a lot of time at night to talk.
I see you, yes. Okay, so I will not be seeing you tomorrow then. I won't be there at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's for sure.
2 o'clock, okay. But the interesting things happen at 2 o'clock in the morning, too, you should know.
I can imagine. The weather must be wonderful, too, around that time in August. So, all right. Well, if anyone's going to be there, give Gutman Locks a big hello and put on tefillin with them. And bring your family and friends as well, and have a very unique experience at the Kotel. And don't forget to get his book. It's called Coming Back to Earth.
That's right.
And that's at thereisone.com. It's spelled out O-N-E. Thereisone.com. And go to the book section and order the book, Coming Back to Earth. Great book. I interviewed you before about that, and it was an amazing story that you have, and it should be read by everybody. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, and may you continue to do many good mitzvot at the Kotel.
Amen. You
all
also.
Right.